Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Conversations with the Citizen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Conversations with the Citizen. I'm your host, Catherine, and I am here today with Autry Phillips, who is the Executive Director of the Target Area Development Corporation. Welcome, Autry.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for having me, Catherine.
So, the Target Area Development Corporation, this is an organization that I am newly familiar with. I'm very excited to hear from you about it. Why don't you go ahead and give us, you know, the rundown? What do we need to know? What is this organization? What is your purpose? What are your goals? And where are you working?
Wow. Great. So again, thank you guys so much for having us. Target Area is a grassroots, nonprofit, faith-based organization located on the south side of Chicago in the community of Auburn Gresham. And we've been in existence since 1995. We've been doing this type of work, and I mean the type of work that we're talking about is street-level intervention, reentry, and organizing. It's three things that we do, and I believe that we do them very well. Our street-level intervention work started in Auburn Gresham on what's called the 78th Street Drug and Gang Initiative. Mm. There was a bunch of pastors, a bunch of clergy in the collars on the corners, telling the guys that they have to get off the corners, not knowing anything about why they were there, but we knew that there was a nuisance in the community. So that started Target Area's work on the street. Because the brother started asking us, so what are we going to do, Pastor?
Yeah, where do we go?
Where are we going to go, Pastor? So we're like, what do you mean? Go to
home.
Work. But we're like, why aren't you at work? Why aren't you at school? And they were like, we got an X on our back. And we were like, excuse me? What's an X? So that started us doing research. This was way back in 1995. We've been doing this since then.
Yeah.
So that's what started Target Area. Going into the community and trying to figure out why our brothers and sisters are standing on a corner and not at work and not at school and not doing the things that the normal people do. When I say normal, I say people who have a job, people who are in schools. So we did research. We found out what an X was. We did not know. We came out of our church saying, y'all got to stop all this. Y'all need to go somewhere. But now we understand now that they can't get a job. They can't go into any type of business that they want to go into. So we started doing research and finding out why. So that started our walk in this particular space with reentry and street-level intervention. So we started working with individuals to getting them employment, getting them back in school, talking about substance abuse referrals, and getting them help in that area. So that's what started Target Area doing the work that we do.
And how have, so we've heard the story of the start. Is it pretty much still essentially the same framework for what you're doing, or can you tell me of any ways that you've evolved or what it looks like today?
So it started with 10 pastors on the corner with collars, and now we've grown to over 137, 140 people working for a Target Area in this particular space. We went from those pastors to working with Cure Violence and Ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
We were one of the first community groups to actually have street-level intervention, which was actually called outreach workers, on the streets of Auburn Gresham. And working with Dr. Slutkin and that particular group at the University of Illinois, who is now called Cure Violence, that's where we got our start. We started understanding how to work on the street better by going to trainings with the university. Dr. Gary Slutkin, quite a few other guys like Kobe. I'm just gonna throw some names out, like Von Kobe, Jalen Arthur, really good guys that helped us develop our niche, and literally took me under their arms and actually showed me the ropes of how to work on the streets of Auburn Gresham and Englewood. And moving from that, we moved to what's called the Communities Partnering for Peace. Communities our initials are CP4P.
Mm-hmm.
It's a coalition of eight organizations working in 9 communities, and we are as like-minded individuals working to professionalize what we do. CP4P has started about 2.5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and we're a close-knit group that's learning how to, and I think this is really important, how to play in the sandbox together.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have our what's called our secret sauce, everybody that does something really, really well in their community. But what the piece that I really want to get people to understand is that our coalition is really special. As individual executive directors, with our and what's important too, our board of directors and our staff, it's extremely important that people understand that this particular group is working to change the narrative of how we do outreach work in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to come back to that, because we learned about Communities Partnering for Peace last week. I actually had Von Bryant on my podcast. So we'll definitely get back into, you know, what you see as being, you know, a lot of the value there. But first of all, I just want to learn a little bit more about you. Because, you know, you were talking about these pastors going out onto the corners. It sounds like maybe you were one of those pastors. I'm just curious to hear kind of how your life, you know, trajectory has gone, and how you found yourself the executive director of Target Area.
Wow. So that's interesting. So I spent 19 and a half years at Amoco Corporation at 200 East Randolph Drive. I was assistant to the vice president of IT, and British Petroleum brought us out. So my particular job went to London, and my pastor, who is the chairman of the board for Target Area Development mm-hmm. Corporation, asked me to come and work for them. So I'm 57 years old and only had 2 jobs my whole life.
Wow.
Amoco Corporation and this one. And Target Area Development Corporation is an outgrowth of our church. So how did I become ED? I started as an organizer, a junior organizer, working in the community with businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And and then a job for the C-Spire supervisor came in our corporation, in our organization. So I applied for it, and I got it. I'm like, I went from 10th floor of Amoco Corporation
mm-hmm.
to the supervisor of an outreach team in Auburn Gresham.
Yep. Sometimes it just goes like that.
So that's how I started at Target Area. Our chairman of the board is Apostle Joseph Stanford, and he gave me the opportunity to switch careers, literally. I went from a desk with a windows looking out at Lakeshore Drive,
mm-hmm.
really nice office,
to the streets of Auburn Gresham. Yeah,
to a room with no windows.
But, I mean, do you feel like, you know, this is kind of, I don't know, maybe not necessarily your life's purpose, but people tend to find themselves where they need to be, you know? Do you find that this is maybe more fulfilling, or
I believe,
passion there, or
that this is where I'm supposed to be at this time.
Yeah,
I've been with the organization over 20 years now. So
something.
Something keeping me here, right? I've had numerous of offers to go other places, and always decided to stay here. Lots more money. and for some reason I keep turning it down.
Yeah.
But this is who I am, and this is my life, helping people and understanding that people need help.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel that I'm in a better position here at this organization, Target Area Development Corporation, where I can help more people. I believe the other individuals and other organizations that have asked me to come and work with them, I think they're great organizations. I think they're tremendous people. But I think that where God wants me to be is right where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. So let's get back now that I understand a little bit more about you. Thank you for sharing that.
I don't share that a lot.
So I kind of just have a way of bringing those things out of people. So I appreciate your openness. But we can get back to business. Communities Partnering for Peace. This awesome collaborative organization, 9 neighborhoods, 9 nonprofits, professionalizing street outreach. Like you said, like we heard from Vaughn last week. What is that? I don't know. I guess what does that really do for target area? I mean, what do you see as being the value of target area being part of this collaborative? It seems like it would be easy to just kind of stay in Auburn Gresham, stay in your community, and just keep doing what you've already been doing. What makes you want to combine forces and combine resources?
Great question. Catherine, so one thing we have to understand that what got us here won't get us there.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were doing back in 95, back in 2000, 2005, is really not going to work for 2020. The reason why I believe the success of CP4P is going to be the new way of doing things is the collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
The power of people working together, the power of like-minded people working together on one goal, which is to reduce the violence in the city of Chicago. Not just in one community, across the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to all the executive directors that are part of the CP4P family that we all do this together. And that's the best way to get it done. We can be successful in Auburn Gresham, or we can be successful in Little Village with Matt and New Life, or we can be successful in Austin with Tenney. But how much better would it be if all of us linked arms and the whole city won?
Yeah.
That's the reason and that's the purpose of CP4P, is understanding the beauty and the power of people. True, we don't have enough money in order to do it all. But I do believe we have enough people.
Mm-hmm.
People power is something that's more important than money power. Don't get me wrong. We are so thankful for the private funding, for the partnering for safe and
peaceful communities.
Thank you so much. I always get that wrong. But that group, that powerful group that
yeah,
came
the
together,
funding.
The funding is
yeah.
They're essential to our success. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to slight them at all because they're the ones who put up the money in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The state didn't do it. The city didn't do it. And I'm not bouncing on either one of them. But we want to highlight the fact that those funders believed us. Those funders sat down with us and believed what we were talking about, and they put money behind it. But what we want to do is talk about the power of the people in the communities. Not one individual, not one institution can do this by themselves.
Yeah.
We can be great in Auburn Gresham, but what about my friends in Inglewood?
Yeah, you kind of just run on a wheel if you're doing it by yourself.
Literally. And the beauty of it is that our workers are now being professionalized.
Mm-hmm.
Those individuals can be looked at differently. Because when the doctor gets his doctor's degree and he goes out and saves lives at the table, now our outreach workers, and this is a true analogy, our outreach workers are just as important and just as powerful as that doctor. Why? Because we're able to change it in the beginning before someone reaches that doctor's table.
Mm-hmm.
We can help stop violence on the front end, and which is the most important piece, the prevention. We have things set up where if someone gets shot, yes, we can help you with trauma, we can help you with advocates, with victims' advocacy, we can help you with follow-up, and that's important. But the most important thing about CP4P is that we're trying to change the narrative before the gun is
yeah. And so as far as professionalizing the street outreach work, I know that Communities Partnering for Peace has the Peace Academy,
yes.
Which a lot of the outreach workers in these 9 organizations that are part of the collaborative, plus a little bit more here and there, kind of get to go through this, I think it's like 150-hour curriculum. Yeah. So I guess I want to hear your perspective on, you know, what that has done for your street outreach workers, you know, to not have to be learning as they go and actually be able to leave with tools.
Yeah. is night and day, literally. The way and there's no shade on the way that we were doing it back in the day. Back in the day when Cure Violence and Ceasefire was doing the training, that was important because that's the tool that we had.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between how we did it then and how we're doing it now is that our guys are on the street, going into the classrooms longer. So they're getting to look at scenarios differently and how to combat that particular violence in another way. So, for instance, if you and I are going to Englewood, just the way we are, mm-hmm. and we go and try and stop someone from shooting someone, the probability of us actually getting that done, probably low.
Mm-hmm.
Now, get this. We use someone who lives in Englewood. He or she is there 24 hours a day. He lives there. He plays there. He goes to church there. When he goes to the grocery store, he sees the same people. Now, getting that person trained on how to be an outreach worker mm-hmm. through the academy. Now, that person takes the training from the academy, plus his life, plus his lived experiences in that community. He or she is much more powerful to make change happen. So what the academy is doing is arming that particular person to be a better outreach worker in that particular community. I think that's the difference between the two. The longevity of the training itself, 16 weeks, plus the individuals that we are hiring that live in the community,
mm-hmm.
combining those two together and making an excellent outreach worker.
Yeah, I mean, it makes complete sense. Yeah. I'm used to just kind of going out and just seeing what happens. So I'm sure it's really nice for them to have some training, you know.
Exactly. And the people that we hire.
Not that you can't do it, you know, this way, but oh my gosh, if you can have those resources.
The resources are very important.
Can get you to point A to point Z exactly. a lot faster.
And we have to understand, too, that the foundation money is important. And the foundations come in when they see an issue. And they try to put money mm-hmm. in to make sure that, hey, let's look at this. But it's not sustainable. We have to understand that we have to work with our current mayor. We have to work with our current governor
mm-hmm.
to bring resources into the communities for sustainability. Now, I'm very hopeful. I'm very, very hopeful with our new administration in the City Hall. I'm very hopeful with our new administration at the governor's office that we can find ways to support and sustain this particular initiative, the CP4P initiative. Why? The city of Chicago and our great police department, Superintendent Eddie Johnson, mm-hmm. I'm about to call him commander, because he was the commander.
Yeah, not anymore.
he was the commander in the 6th District and I had a mm-hmm. really great relationship. So, but the police can't do it by themselves.
Right.
That's the key. We pray for our police department. We pray for our leadership in the police department, but they can't do it by itself.
When it's like you said, trying to get on the front end, they're on the back end.
They're the police.
Yeah.
They're there to do their job. My job and CP4P's job is to get our individual groups that we're working with, those high-risk, acute-risk individuals, to never be in front of a police again. Because when the police come, they come to do one thing. They come to police. They're not there to be your friend. Don't get me wrong. But they're there to bring order and bring.
Right. They're not outreach workers. They're not therapists.
They are trained in their academy to do one thing, but we're trained in our academy to do a totally different thing. Our academy teaches us how to build relationships with those individuals who live in the environment to get shot or shoot someone. Their academy is to serve and protect.
Mm-hmm.
By any means necessary.
Yeah, there has to be a working relationship, but two different roles.
Exactly. And CP4P, we have positive relationships, or we're building positive relationships with the Chicago Police Department. We're not there to take their place. We're there to be an addition to saving lives mm-hmm. in the community. That's basically what that is. We have to be able to work together in a way that is we're honorable on both sides, meaning that the people on the street are able to believe and trust the outreach workers, but the police department has to, there's a wall there. It has to be a wall there. But
yeah.
Because we have to go on the street. Our outreach workers don't carry badges. We don't carry bulletproof vests. We don't carry guns. Only thing we take on the street is our name and our word. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
If we can walk the streets where guys are carrying guns, and the only thing you have is your name and your word, that's powerful.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, you know, that really is the extent of the questions that I have for you today. And I'm very, I don't want to say necessarily moved, but I'm very inspired
Wow.
by everything that you have shared with me. So I'm very thankful that you were able to come in today. If there's anything else that you would like to tell us before you go, anything coming up, any needs that you have, just anything I haven't asked you to share that you'd like to, you're welcome.
Yeah. One thing that I want to share with your audience is that community support is really important. Community support on any level. The grandma that just waved at the brothers on the corner. Catherine, I was asked maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So Pastor, what do you do? What do you say to the guys on the corner? That because I'm scared. Sometimes when I walk down the street, mm-hmm. I'm scared. And I said, Mother, say hi.
Yeah.
They're individuals. They're people. They did not come from Mars. They're somebody's son, somebody's brother, somebody's sister. They're people.
Yeah, something so simple can make such an impact, too.
And you do that every time you walk past, you will see a difference in your community if you communicate with those individuals. My last point is this. Don't give up hope.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds bad in the news, but just imagine if the people that worked with CP4P communities wasn't there.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is still hope. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. Again, this is Autry Phillips, Executive Director of the Target Area Development Corporation. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I'm your host, Catherine. We are done for today, but I will be back next week.
Remember to make plans to join us again next week for Conversations with the Citizen, the place where real news can be heard.